The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good rainy Wednesday morning to you. And welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Excited to be with you the next 4 hours. Hope you're off to a great start here in Hump Day. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna holding fort. Willie Donick over on the east side in East Nashville. Chase McAbabe over on the west side in Bellevue. Marquise Munson back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike. There are Wholesale Link Game Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Guys, how you doing?
Doing well. Everything cool on the east side. Nice and damp. A little rainy. Mm-hmm. It's going to warm up here in the next couple days. But so enjoy the New England weather while it lasts.
Actually, I think it's going to be warm today. I just think we've had some morning showers. I actually think it's supposed to get to 70 or low 70s, isn't it? I think if I looked at that correctly.
Coming. It's coming.
And did I see early predictions for next week could be in the 90s?
Oh, yes, you did.
Yep.
Yes, you did.
Hold on a second.
Hold on a damn second here.
I don't know if I'm ready for 9.
You saw correctly.
I see a high of 84. Mid-80s is the highest I see over the next, over the next few days,
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rain mixed in there.
Yep. I think I saw mid-80s over the weekend, somewhere between 82 and 84. Actually, it's going to be in the 80s tomorrow and Friday. So I did see 90s, but I think they've backed off of that. So I don't think it's still in the forecast. I could be wrong.
Let's hold off. Let's hold off.
I have got a confession to make right out of the gates.
Oh, okay.
I had
we're here for you.
For whatever reason, I had just an awful night of sleep. I can't even say without laughing because I woke up at 3:30 in the morning just wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. I was ready to go run a half marathon. If I was ever in that mood, which will be never, I felt like I could do that. I mean, I was wide awake. I have no idea why, no clue, but I was wide awake.
Did Maddox spike your drink?
No, actually, the house is very quiet. For the first time in 2 months, they have been around me every minute of every second, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They're actually gone.
Oh.
They went to go visit her mother for kind of Mother's Day. So she hasn't seen her mom in months. So they're gone for the first time during all of this. So it's just me and the dogs. And I don't know. Like I said, I have no idea. I just woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Okay, that's fine. No, but that's happened before. I'll flip around. I'll watch a little TV, and then I will doze back off. The problem here that I must confess is where I stopped on television. I don't know if you've tried to watch television at 3:30 in the morning on a station, you know, our channel not named a movie channel, you know, something that's not a movie. There's a lot of paid programming, right? It's a lot of infomercials and, you know, they're selling you pillows and, you know, this thing that you could take a boat out with a leak in it and just put that patch over it and skim right across the
stuff
lake
works.
And no leaks and, you know, Gorilla and all that stuff. Gorilla glue. I mean, we got all that stuff.
Did you buy something?
I did not.
Is that what you're saying?
I did not go
did
shopping.
Did you buy something?
If that's what you – I did not go shopping.
I thought that's where this was going.
I stopped.
I thought so, too. I thought you were going to tell us about something you purchased.
I have done that in the past, those late-night purchases, early morning purchases, you know. You see the infomercial, and you're like, wow, that looks like a good idea. Hey, yeah, that works. Yeah, that would be cool in the kitchen. And then you get it, and you're like, what the heck was I thinking? I stopped on the E! Channel. Don't typically watch the E! Channel. I stopped on the E! Channel, and for the next not 30 minutes, not 20 minutes, not 10 minutes, not an hour, for the next 3 hours before I fell back asleep, I watched Very Cavallari. Yes. Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler. I had never seen the show, never seen 1 minute of it, and I watched 3 hours of 30-minute episodes.
So after watching that, are you sad that now they're splitting up?
I have to be honest, and this is what I was watching, so it's funny that you bring that up. These are newer episodes I was watching, and I've got to be honest, they seem like everything was fine. And let me also admit this. We know Jay Cutler pretty well. Willie and I got to know him going back to his days at Vanderbilt as their quarterback. Feel pretty good saying we know kind of his mannerisms, what he's about, you know, what people have said about him over the years. Really nothing has surprised us. I thought he was better than what I expected. I actually find him somewhat humorous. I do. I kind of find him funny.
The fact that he just doesn't care, like, that's the funny part. I mean, we did a segment on the morning show called Jay Cutler Doesn't Care, and we take clips of that show and put them all together, because he really just, there are times where, like, if it's her or one of her friends and he's just staring at him like, really, I don't care.
He's funny in it. Like, I found him actually funny, like, in a good way. Like, funny, not like laughing at him doing this. Like I found him funny. He was way better than I thought he would be. And, of course, you know, most of the shows all take place right here in Nashville. And I had never seen a second of that show, and I watched 3 hours of it this morning. And I got to be honest, I'm admitting this, and I'm not ashamed. Like, I don't know if I'll go back and watch it again, but I don't regret it. Like, I actually found it was pretty interesting. Like I said, there's a lot of Nashville stuff.
3 hours is a lot, though.
That's a lot, but I couldn't go back to sleep. It wasn't like I was roped. That's how wide awake I was. It's been a while since I've had that, but that's what I watched. That's how I passed the time, watching Very Cavallari. But to your point, what you just said, these are newer episodes, and there was really nothing you could see in the shows that suggests they were having troubles. Nothing. Not the episodes I watched.
Yeah, I don't know.
In fact, they kind of poke fun at each other, you know, how both of them are wired. You know, Kristen Cavallari is on the go. She's wired tight, you know. She's got all this stuff going on, her, you know, Uncommon James, her stores, and she's a fashion designer, you know, and all just on the go constantly. And Jay literally is bringing, you know, miniature donkeys to the house and chickens, and I mean, it's great. You know, he pokes fun at himself, and she pokes fun at him for, like, he gets up and he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Who knows? But there was nothing to suggest that there were any issues. So, quite honestly, after watching those 3 hours today, I was a little surprised. Now that we've learned here in the last week or so, well, they're getting a divorce. They have 3 kids.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know they had 3 kids?
No, I know that. But actually, what was weird is I don't think I ever saw them in any episode.
Yeah, I don't really
think keep that. They probably keep them out on purpose.
Yeah, and besides the show, I feel like they're pretty private. But
so you have watched it.
I've watched, now not religiously, and I wouldn't, no offense, but I wouldn't sit there for 3 hours. I understand it was the middle of the night, so your choices were limited. But I have watched some of it. I mean, I didn't get super into it, but I laughed at Jay, just, you know, and kind of his attitude sometimes. It was more last season, I guess. I don't think I watched the most recent.
Willie, have you seen it?
Not 1 second.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured you'd be in the same boat as me. Yeah, until this morning. Now we no longer have that in common.
I'm willing to admit that I could be sucked in to shows like that. I mean, I think that's the lure of shows like that, the mindless, crazy reality, whatever. There, obviously, people get sucked in or else they wouldn't make those shows.
Yeah.
So I just try not to open up the door and allow myself to get sucked in. I try to do more constructive things, and I say that sort of tongue-in-cheek.
I
think we all have our brain shutdown moments, right, where we watch something completely stupid.
I've watched so much random stuff lately.
I've never seen any of her MTV shows. Like, I've never watched Laguna Beach or Real Orange County or any of that stuff she's been in. I've never watched it. But I actually thought I think she's obviously out there. She's got quite the personality, and gosh, that house they've got sitting on the market for over a year now is massive. Just sitting there, it is massive.
The one here?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
That's sitting there just vacant.
Yep. Because where did they move to?
They moved. I don't know. They're out obviously on land now, because that's what I said.
But they have chickens, and they're still here.
Yes. Yeah. No, they're still here. They're out now with, you know, land, acres. Yeah.
Wow. It's good. Good. Well, it's good to be Jay Cutler. That kind of money.
Yeah. 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 You know, coming back out of the television booth for just 1 year and getting 10 mil just alone is already a good year's worth of salary. But he already made probably 50 million at that point, 50, 60 million to that point.
I wonder if he revisits the TV thing.
I don't know. Like, now that I've watched this, and like I said, I actually think I found him funny. I thought he was good in it. I really did. Like, I expect him to be just a dud on this show, and I found him to be okay. I did. I enjoyed his role.
He's
but
kind
anyway,
of a smart aleck.
Yeah, he is, and maybe that's why I enjoy it. He's definitely that. But, you know, now that this is ended up this way, I mean, what is he going to do? I mean, I can't imagine he's planning on doing this forever, just sitting around doing nothing. He did. There was an episode where he met up with. They went to Chicago because she's opened up a store there, and I guess they met up. Zach Miller is one of his good friends, who's now retired from the Bears, and he was with his wife. It was funny. Zach Miller told a story of. This lady came up there. This is at Chicago at a Bears game. After a game that night, they go out to dinner, and she comes up and she said, "It's my mom's 50th birthday. She loves you, Jay Cutler. Could you please take a picture with her?" And he looked right at her and said, "No."
That's Jay.
And Kristen was like, "You can be such a bleep sometimes." Yeah.
Well, then there was one where she's like, this is right after he retired. I want to say it was pre-Dolphins. So when he retired the first time. And she's like, so do you have a plan? Like, what are you going to do today? And he's like, probably nothing. And she's like, well, you need to do something. You need a plan. And he just looks at her and goes, well, I'm pretty happy doing nothing.
We will come back. Tim Kirchen, who covers baseball. He's a baseball insider for ESPN. We will talk about the future of the sport and what to expect on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Wednesday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. One thing that's come out of us doing these shows from our homes for 2+ months is just some of the incredible interviews we've been able to get and have with the likes of David Price and Mookie Betts and Tony Kemp, and of course our buddy Tim Corbin over on West End, some of these former Vanderbilt players and guys that are in the big leagues, and Matt Beatty with the Dodgers. We've really enjoyed a lot of these interviews, and along that theme of baseball, Tim Kirchen is on the line with us, covers baseball insider for ESPN. He now joins us. Tim, how you doing?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
We're hanging in there. A little quarantine life in Nashville. How's staying safe? How's quarantine life for you?
Well, spent a lot of time in my office. I haven't been to a major league park in like 10 weeks, which is way too long. But I'm really busy. I took on this writing assignment, volunteered to do this date in baseball history every day, something different in order until we start to play again. It's been way more work than I thought it would be, but it's been great fun for me to kind of bring back some of the stories that I've pretty much collected over the last 45 years or so. So all is good.
That is fantastic. We have admitted on the show that we have been watching baseball in Taiwan, and we've been watching the Korean Baseball League on ESPN. And we've picked our teams, and we're having a little bit of fun with it. But how much do you think Major League Baseball is looking at this and observing and trying to figure out their best course of action to maybe start up a season?
Well, they should be watching. They should be watching every inning of every game. Somebody should be doing that. I did the game this morning, or at least filled in a segment or two this morning, and this could become a roadmap for how baseball, Major League Baseball, is going to look when or if it comes back. I don't see any way early on, at least, we're going to have any fans in the stands. So Major League Baseball can learn this and see, you know, what kind of ratings we get, what kind of interest there is, how the players conduct themselves, how things work in and outside of the ballpark. Because, again, I think this is where this is going. I covered that 2015 fanless game in Baltimore, and it was the strangest game I've ever covered, of course. And if they're all going to be like that, we need to get acclimated to it. The best way to do that is to watch these games in South Korea and at least get an idea this is what it's like when there are no fans in the stands.
By the way, our buddy Caleb Joseph, who lives in Nashville, was the star of that game, who got a lot of viral attention, the video of him saluting the fans and doing a lot of handshakes and signing autographs leading up to that game.
Yeah, and if I may, Caleb Joseph told me after that game, I covered that game, he said he was behind the plate catching a major league game, and he could hear the announcements being made in the press box. Attention press, you know, that was Chris Davis's first home run in the first inning this year. And he's back there thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. I didn't realize that. And he could hear everything that's being said while he was catching a major league game. And that might be what we all better get used to if this indeed happens.
In fact, that just happened in the UFC, who put on an event. Of course, ESPN was carrying the prelims, and a fighter said he could hear the commentators and actually was listening. In fact, Greg Hardy, who used to play in the NFL, was listening to some of the commentary, and it was helping him during the fight because he could hear everything they were saying during the course of the fight.
Yeah, and Buck Showalter, the Oriole manager, told me that day. He said, "We didn't even need the bullpen phone. I just stood on the top step of the dugout and yelled, 'You better get Britton up.'" That's how quiet it was in that ballpark.
I was covering the Cleveland Indians in 94 and 95. 94 was the first year at then Jacobs Field. And then I moved here first day in Nashville was January 1, 1998. Huge baseball fans on this show. We talked about this a lot yesterday on the show, Tim, that baseball better be careful because Willie was in the minors on the show, some of it in the 90s, and then started off his radio career. They had a problem that decade, baseball did, a problem with what was going on and stoppages, work stoppages and trying to get fans back. And it's been a long time since we've had those discussions. But, Tim, we said yesterday on the show, they need to be real careful how they handle this publicly, because in these times, during a pandemic, people don't want to hear people squabbling about money. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I totally agree. If they say avoid all the obstacles, quarantine, testing, realignment, scheduling, universal DH, just keep naming them, and, of course, just staying healthy. If they can avoid all of that and get to a point where they're going to actually be in a position to play, and then they say, well, we're not going to play because the finances and the compensation is not correct here, that's really going to go over poorly, especially now. But baseball, I've been told by a few people who would know, they're going to figure this out. They have to figure this out because they recognize that anything is better than nothing. And they might have the entire landscape, the sporting landscape to themselves for maybe even a month and a half. It would be a wonderful opportunity to get people interested in baseball again. But if they decide not to play because there isn't an equitable split on the money, look, they're just going to have to make an adjustment like everyone else is and say, this is a bizarre season. It'll never happen again. We have to be flexible or else we're not going to play at all.
We're talking to Tim Kirkjian from ESPN covering baseball. And Tim, we have really enjoyed the memory lane you have us walking down. I love watching the old games. I love the Kirkjian baseball fix that you have every day. It's been a fun time if you're a baseball historian. I know we're all chomping at the bit to get some more live new sports, but it has been an interesting time. Have you enjoyed going back and doing some of these pieces?
Yeah, I really have enjoyed it because I've learned an awful lot. And every day I get to a new day and look at what happened on this date. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head that, say, Willie Mays was born on May the 6th. I knew it was somewhere around there, but I get to May the 6th and I go, oh, my goodness, Willie Mays was born on this day. Yeah, I know him. I have many stories about him. I can write about him today. And then the next day, something else comes up, jogs my memory about, oh, yeah, how about that game when Tippy Martinez picked off three batters in one game? That's what excites me is I get to something and I say, yes, I can write a story about that. I have stuff on that game. And if I don't, or on that person, I just pick up the phone and call somebody. But for the most part, I've really enjoyed every second of this. And all I did it for was to put a smile on the face of a few baseball fans who don't have much to smile about right now.
Yeah, well, we've been smiling. By the way, speaking of history, Tim, I still say probably the greatest pickup basketball game of all time is when you joined us. You were covering the baseball winter meetings at Opryland Hotel. You were looking to get out of there, of that city within a city, and come over and play at Memorial Gym with us. And so I'm wondering if you had a chance to get out and shoot the basketball at all? Are you staying active?
Well, first off, that day playing on the stage like that with the raised floor was tremendous. And the winter meetings are so difficult to cover that when you get a chance to go out and get some real exercise and have a real competition, it was tremendous fun. And yesterday I just decided I'm tired of running around in a circle or running the streets, so I'm going to go shoot some hoops. And yet yesterday the wind was howling, and I went to this store court which has the double rims, which are so tight, if you don't swish it, it's not going in. You know, those metal nets and a howling wind. So after about 10 minutes, I took like a 12-footer and shot an air ball because the wind swept it away. And I said, all right, that's enough. If I can't hit the rim from 12 feet, it's time to go home.
Oh, man, that is psychological as much as anything else, too, trying to shoot on that double rim, even if there's no wind. That's a tough one for sure.
Right.
Tim, let me hit you with one. We have enjoyed having conversations that sometimes you forget about certain guys over a period of time. The Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game came up. It was on MLB Network. They showed the whole game. You have a piece on it yourself. And you're reminded of players like that who hit the highest of highs, just not for a long, long period of time, or they couldn't repeat it over the long period of time. It kind of makes you appreciate the guys who do have the longevity, you know, who are remembered because of milestones they hit, even though maybe they weren't spectacular like somebody like a Kerry Wood or a Dwight Gooden.
Yeah, and I put a lot of emphasis as I vote for the Hall of Fame on longevity and durability and showing up every day. A lot of people say, oh, that guy can't be in the Hall of Fame. He's just a compiler. Well, he was good enough to start, play every day for his team for 20 years, whoever you're talking about. Or if you're talking about Phil Niekro or Don Sutton, to make that many starts, win that many games, go to the post that many times without anyone worrying, Can he make it today? Is he hurt? I put a lot of emphasis on that. But they're even more like Kerry Wood and Dwight Gooden, who in their early 20s were as good a pitcher as I'd ever seen. Kerry Wood was unhittable as a 20-year-old, and so was Dwight Gooden. But it just shows you how difficult the game is to play, that if you don't keep up your skills, it'll go away. And just as important, if you get hurt, this is not the game that you come back from and really play it well after you've been hurt. And it's so easy to get hurt playing the game of baseball, especially when you're throwing a baseball like Kerry Wood did for that long.
Another angle that you've hit on, not only, you know, remembering great players, but also the characters of the game, the ones that sort of add that flair that help us enjoy the game more, especially in baseball, that daily interaction. Who are some of the favorite people that you covered, that you always look forward to having conversations with?
Well, I just wrote about Tony Gwynn the other day. And with Tony Gwynn, one of the great hitters of all time, you just sit down and you start to talk to him, and it's no longer a question and answer period with me as the reporter and him being interviewed. It becomes a discussion. And that's how great Tony Gwynn was all of those years. And just in a regular conversation, he showed me his bat once, and he said, I used this bat here, and it was broken at the time, but he said, I used one bat for the entire 1994 season, the year he hit .394. He said, I only held it out against really tough left-handers like Jeff Fusaro because I didn't want to break it because it was my bat, and he barreled it so many times that year. He only went through one bat the entire season. Pete Incaviglia told me once he broke 12 dozen bats in 1 year, 144. Tony Gwynn went through an entire season basically using one bat. And then he told me, he said, I broke that bat the following spring training on a backfield taking BP against Rob Picciolo, one of the Padres' coaches. And Tony looked at me and said, I almost started to cry. And Picciolo told me later, he said, so did I. Those are the characters in the game, and those are the stories that I love to tell, especially at a time where there are no stories to tell.
Can you believe next month is going to be 6 years since we lost him? It's hard to believe. It's already been 6 years.
Yeah, and they don't make him like him anymore, and it worries me a little bit to go off script a little bit here, fellas. A few years ago, a team hired a rocket scientist to do evaluations of players, especially on exit velocity. And he came back with his findings, and among his findings were Tony Gwynn wasn't a great hitter. He was a lucky hitter because his exit velocity wasn't up there with the best hitters of the time. And this is what worries me so much about baseball. We have somebody doing something like that without understanding at all what a magician Tony Gwynn was at the plate, and to not appreciate that he could hit a hard ground ball between shortstop and third base almost any time he wanted because he was so good. And yet he was being graded back then based on exit velocity. That's a mistake when we start looking at only things like that.
Wow. Tim, Willie and I got to know his son when he played for the Sounds here in Nashville. By the way, sounded, if you close your eyes, you would think that you were talking to his dad. It was unbelievable.
No question.
Yeah, so Tony Gwynn Jr., I saw him at the Hall of Fame when his dad was being inducted. I saw him on the morning of the induction, and Tony Gwynn Jr. looked at me and he said, my dad needs a beer. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. And he's so nervous about making a speech, he needs a beer. And then Tony Gwynn Jr. looks at me and goes, my dad doesn't drink. So he was going to have, like, his first beer on the day he was being inducted. That's how nervous he was about that. He wasn't nervous facing Randy Johnson or Greg Maddux. He was nervous about speaking, and, of course, typical Tony Gwynn, he went up there and crushed it, which is not surprising at all.
I think Junior's doing Afternoon Drive Sports Talk Radio in San Diego. I think that's right.
Yeah.
He does some Padres games,
with
too.
Him. I've done a few shows with him, and it's quite a thrill to talk to the son of Tony Gwynn, who I admire so much.
Tim Kirkjian is with us from ESPN here on Darren Donick and Chase. And as we continue the memory lane talk, you know, growing up in Nashville, the closest team was the Atlanta Braves. And as a kid, I got to witness, you know, the Maddux and Smoltz and Glavine, the big three. And so I've had fun over the last few weeks of watching some of those games from the 90s, including last night, the 95 NLCS, where they completed the sweep of the Cincinnati Reds. What was it about those three that just made them stand out from everyone else and be quite possibly the greatest trio of pitchers in the history of baseball?
Well, they all had great talent. I mean, Smoltz through mid-90s with a devastating slider. Glavine had such great command of the strike zone. And Greg Maddux is arguably the best pitcher any of us has ever seen. That's how good he was in career value. But they were all athletic. They were all wildly competitive. And even though they were best friends and teammates, they were always competing with themselves. So Maddux tells this story well. I got this out of Maddux. I'm not the only one. He says to Bobby Cox in a playoff game, Bobby comes to take him out. Big spot, seventh inning, big spot. And he's coming to take him out. And Maddux goes, you can't take me out, Bobby. You can take me out after this hitter, but I got this guy. He's going to foul out to the third baseman on the first pitch. So Bobby Cox, who trusted his guy, leaves Maddux in the game, and on the first pitch, the guy pops out to Chipper Jones at third, who was like 2 inches in fair territory. And his teammates, Maddox's teammates, gave him a hard time and said, wait a second, you said he was going to foul out on the first pitch to the third baseman. Chipper was in fair territory. That's how much of an artist Greg Maddux was, is he knew exactly what was going to happen before it happened because he was just smarter than everyone else.
Is there I'm doing a thing with Tom Glavine on Friday night and really excited about it. Is there a Tom Glavine story that comes to mind or that's top of mind?
Well, I need to be serious about this because now it's important. You know, in 2002, when there was another work stoppage ahead potentially, and Tom Glavine won't take much credit for this, but he stood up and said, look, we can't do this again. We can't stop playing again. We can't do this to the game. We can't do this to the fans. We have to find a way to get an agreement. Because he had been through work stoppages before. He saw the damage and the danger involved, and he stepped forward. And this is my concern now, fellas. I'm just not sure we have any Tom Glavines out there who have lived through a very difficult work stoppage of any kind and therefore can tell everyone, be careful what we're getting into here. To me, beyond all the greatness of Tom Glavine was his ability and his need to step forward and say, look, we cannot stop playing. We have to somehow come to an agreement. That's how I'll always remember Tom Glavine.
Before we let you go, with all of that said, knowing the proposal that's out there, the conversations that could take place between the league and the PA, gut feeling for you, how long do you think that this process actually takes for them to get an agreement in place to have to return to play?
I the answer is I don't know, and neither does anybody else. I think it's going to take 2 more weeks before we come up with a real 10 days, let's say, to come up with a real plan that we can put into practice and then hope that nothing enormous gets in the way, like, you know, worse pandemic, you know, worse numbers coming back, more people getting sick and dying. So I'm thinking and I'm hoping 10 days this can be done. That'll give them enough time in theory to get spring training started, you know, maybe June the 10th and maybe start the season July the 4th, as we've seen. But there's still so much work that has to be done.
Tim, can you give us the secret to CC Sabathia's quarantine body? What the heck's going on with him, man? He's ripped.
Yeah, well, you know, he lost a lot of weight at one point in his career, and he didn't pitch very well. He told me, he said, you know what? I think I'm better when I'm bigger. You know, I'm more comfortable in this body when it's been this way my whole life. And He's figured it out. So good for him for whatever he's doing. And never forget, for all non-baseball fans, CC Sabathia, great athlete, great basketball player, really good football player, could have played any sport he wanted. He doesn't look like a great athlete, but he is. And, of course, a potential Hall of Fame pitcher someday.
Yep. I've used the same line in radio. I'm just better, bigger in radio. Tim, really appreciate the visit. Great stuff, as always. It's always good to talk to you. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, guys. See you.
All right, that is Tim Kirchen, baseball insider for ESPN, and he has got a story for everything. You just wind him up, you throw out a subject matter, and let him go. He's going to hit it out of the park. Good stuff from him. We appreciate the visit. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. We know a lot of you are working from home during this pandemic. You can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. That's an option. Enable your Alexa skill or Google Home. You can ask it to play 102.5 The Game. That's certainly a good option. Live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. So lots of options to listen to us. We're cranking them out 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, still going at it and getting interviews like that right there. Tim Kirchen, really good stuff from him. And we will wait and see. And, by the way, it is hard to believe it's been 6 years tomorrow, or not tomorrow, next month for Tony Gwynn. I mean, that we lost him way, way, way too early. But, man, he was, I would say, probably the best. If I was to say the best hitter that I ever saw, it would be Tony Gwynn.
Did you guys ever have a chance to interview
but
him?
I don't know. That's hard because Pete Rose, I mean, like pure hitter, just like a hitter. Pete Rose, guy like
Wade
Tony
Boggs.
Gwynn. Who?
Wade Boggs.
Boggs.
It just depends on what
one.
Type of hitter.
Yeah.
Right? If you're just talking about hardest to strike out, you know, best hitter for average, Wade Boggs, you know, not only would hit 340 or 350 in a given year, but he would walk 100
yes.
times. You
That's
know, he was so
point.
Difficult mm-hmm. to get out. Now, he didn't hit for the power that some of these other guys did, and you could say that about Gwynn. Gwynn, I don't think, walked quite as much, but, you know, the hitting 340 or 350 every year, it seemed like, in his prime was just incredible. He was – can you imagine not breaking a bat? I mean, that's for
no.
people that maybe never got the not a chance to use a wooden bat. Man, I noticed kids today are much better at doing some of their training with wooden bats, which is really, really smart. You know, when I was a kid, 7 or 8 years old, I used a wooden bat, but as soon as I got into Little League and everybody was using aluminum, I never went back and even practiced with wood at all, and that was a mistake. And so when I got to the minor leagues, man, I realized how tough it was to make the adjustment, but you just breaking bats is part of it, right? You're gonna break bats every now and then. Can you imagine going through a whole season without breaking a bat? That's incredible.
My son can't get through a whole season without breaking a composite bat. So no, I can't imagine doing that with a wood bat. His first full season in the bigs. Do you know what he batted? His first full season in the bigs.
What year was that? 82, 83?
84 was his first full year.
That was his first full year? I thought
yeah,
he had
84.
A year because they went to the World Series.
No,
in
he
84.
Played in 82 and 83, but he played 50-something, 54 games in 82 and 86. So he played half of a season in 83. But
okay.
84,
so
a
I don't think he
season.
Would have been a rookie in 84, but it is his first full season. And they remember, they had the great comeback against the Cubs and shocked everybody and went. They were down 2-0, came back and won and went to the World Series. What did he hit, 370 that year?
351, his first
wow.
full season
wow.
in the bigs, 351. I want you to listen to this, guys. This is his career. So he obviously played, you know, the rest is history. He would play full seasons for the rest of his career. Here is Tony Gwynn's batting average in his career, starting with his first full season and beyond. 351, 317. Boy, that was an off year. 329, 370, 313, 336, 309, 317, 317, 358, 394, which was 94, 1994, the shortened season, That was in 110 games. 368, 353, 372, 321, 338, 323, 324. See why I say I think he's like the best pure hitter I ever saw?
Well,
I
mean, that's
ridiculous.
It's really him and Boggs.
Boggs is, there's no doubt. You're right.
They're about the same. If you look, if they hit under 320, it's an off year. Whereas, you know, we would kill to hit 300. But it's so weird, as Tim was pointing out, how the analytics have influenced the game, because a lot of statisticians would tell you that they would rather have a guy hit for a little lower average if it means you get more power out of it. But, you know, I'll always appreciate, you know, those craftsmen like Boggs and Gwynn, you know, who weren't up there trying to hit home runs. I just love the variety. And that's what the game has lost a little bit because of the influence of analytics. But, you know, we saw Tony Gwynn Jr. He played a lot of games for the Sounds. Like, he was up and down in the majors a lot with the Brewers. He played his fair share of games in the bigs, for sure. But he probably played the equivalent of, I want to say, two-plus seasons for the Sounds. So we had a chance to talk to him quite a bit. I remember the first time we had him on, Darren, it was hard not to laugh, all of us sitting there, because it was so eerie.
He was doing it
how
in
much
person.
He sounded like.
I know.
Yeah, he would sit down with us, you know, after batting practice. There was a window if we would do games at Greer, or if we would do, you know, a show at Greer. There was a window after the Sounds would take their batting practice.
He'd come up and sit down with
us. Yeah, and so we'd get a guy to come up there with us. We had a lot of great conversations.
Sure we did.
With Sounds over the years. But he was one that I'll always remember, because we were sitting there going, man, what is. We were all thinking the same thing before
it was like
anybody
60
said it.
Seconds
and he
in.
Knew. Yeah, he knew we were saying. He knew exactly what we were thinking, too. He's like, okay, I know. I've heard this before. I know I sound like my dad. Fine. You know? But he was really funny about it.
I mean,
did
if you,
you ever
closed
get
your
to talk
eyes.
To his dad?
I never did.
I did not. I did not.
If you closed your eyes in those interviews, you would think absolutely we had Tony Gwynn. Now, we did have Tony Gwynn on the show. It was just Junior. But you would think we had Tony Gwynn on the show. If you were just tuning in to the show and you didn't hear us say Junior, you would say, wow, man, they got Tony Gwynn on. This is cool. This is a cool interview. It sounded just exactly, looked just like his dad. I mean, it was crazy. But, yeah, he's doing sports talk radio in San Diego and, of course, doing stuff with the Padres broadcast. But he was a great guy to deal with. Yeah, he spent significant time here. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I remember seeing him play over at Greer, and I don't remember how old I was, but the first time I saw him, I was like, wait, Tony Gwynn? Oh, he has a son. That's cool. And
he was a good player. You know, he could hold his own. I mean, I would have loved to have had the service time. I mean, he was not close to his dad, but he was a legit major league player for a good long period of
time. Let's see, he played Brewers, Padres, Dodgers, Phillies, Nats. Ended in 2014.
He had moments. He would go with stretches where he would be red hot in the bigs. He had moments. I remember where he got a lot of attention with his play. You know, I don't know how many games did he end up logging.
685.
Oh,
eight,
okay.
Parts of 8 years. That's
okay.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, that's more than I thought, actually. So here's Wade Boggs' batting average. First full season. First year he played a little bit over half of a season, batted .349. Next year was his first full season, which was 83. 361, 325, 368, 357, 363, 366, 330, 302. What an off year in 1990. What was going on? Barely over 300. 332, 259 in 92. 302.
Was that his last year with the Red Sox?
Yes. Yep, batted .259 last year with the Red Sox. Then he went to the Yankees, .302, .342, .324, .311, .292, .280, .301.
Wow. Wow. And now read off his on-base percentage. It's even more impressive when you work that in there.
Basically in the fours.
Oh, it's well into the fours. Like if you have a .400 on-base percentage, you're going to be towards the top of the league. But he was every year.
His on-base percentage was probably even a little bit better than Tony Gwynn's.
Oh, yeah. He drew more walks. Yeah. Also, he played in a better hitter's park. I think Fenway Park was perfect for him. He could hit opposite field shots off of the monster. He led the league in doubles a couple times. Here, how about this for on-base percentage? He won five batting titles. He also led an on-base percentage six times in the 80s. 444, 40, well, let's go from the start. 406, 444, 407, 450, 453, 461, 476, and 430.
That's
him in
pretty
the
nasty stretch of
never under
on
40.
Base percentage. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty impressive. Disgusting.
That's ridiculous. 476. I mean, that's Little League.
No, you're right. That's just basically you're on all the time. I mean, you are on. Golly, that's
Barry Bonds was like that too.
Yeah, you're right.
Of course, he had a few other helpers. But
Barry kind of had some clouds over him. Wade and Tony did not.
Yeah.
Well, Wade had a cloud, but it was in the nightclubs.
He had different kind of cloud.
It was a different kind of cloud. And let me tell you.
Wade wasn't cheating at baseball.
Oh, no. I know because I worked at Champions Bar in the Marriott, which was close to the old Municipal Stadium, and all the teams that came through to play the Indians came in there because they would stay at that Marriott. And Wade Boggs was in there a lot. And, yeah, it was not a rumor. I saw it firsthand.
It was not a rumor.
No.
And in fairness to Wade, in fairness to Wade Boggs, he probably – I mean, we know it's not probably. He was certainly not the only one who was – engaging in that type of behavior. He just happened to be the high-profile guy that got, exposed in the media. And it was quite compromising at the time.
I think right now we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. We have to believe that common sense will prevail. And these owners and this Players Association will not let this dip into the 90s again. They have moved. I mean, that's been two decades since baseball has been free and clear of a lot of squabbling over money, right? And short stoppages. And I just have to believe they're going to get in a room here soon and they're going to figure it out. And I know that there's another proposal. We talked about it yesterday. But I do believe that I have to believe that they're not dumb enough. There's enough smart people in that room to figure out that they cannot have the PR nightmare that it would be. And it would be a PR nightmare, as we talked about yesterday, if these two sides are actually battling over money and they're not out on the field. And this goes on and on, and it will be really, really bad for the sport. They've worked way too hard to try to bring things back and get in a good place to mess it up now, and I think it would be a travesty if they don't figure this out. They need to figure it out. That's free advice.
No, I agree, and the reports were yesterday
that
the discussion was actually not about money. It was all about the health and safety and logistics and things like that, and that once they get that figured out, then the money conversation will happen. But, yeah, they have to, and – hopefully either they know that or there's somebody saying that they know that. But I thought Tim Kirkjian was spot on by saying that they don't have that Tom Glavin type that went through those work stoppages and can stand up and say, this is bad. We have to figure out how to avoid this. Let's all make this fair, but we have to do our best to make sure that none of this happens and there isn't a work stoppage or the narrative that, oh, they're bickering over money during a pandemic.
Let's hope there is a Tom Glavin somewhere in there.
Let's hope. Let's go to Joe. He's on hold. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen. Being a baseball guy myself coming from Boston, that was at one point the American pastime. One thing you said, totally agree with it, that we cannot repeat what happened in 94. I mean, let's look at it on the big scale. I mean, if this is a prolonged work stoppage, think about it. After missing the World Series in 1994, they needed a steroid era in order to get the fans back because, I mean, as fans, we love seeing a 120-mile-an-hour fastball hit 713 feet. We love that. I mean, you know, that's part of the game that everybody loves. But I don't think they'd be able to come back from that. And while you were talking about great hitters, of course, loved Wade Boggs. I mean, I saw him get his 3,000th hit in St. Petersburg when, you know, down in Tampa. I think that was in 1999. It was pretty thrilling to me growing up as a Red Sox fan. But one guy, and I just hate to say it, man, the whole Pete Rose thing, you look at his stats throughout his career, just unbelievable, the consecutive 200-hit seasons like you guys were talking about, on-base percentage and things like that. Man, I just wish the guy could have owned it back in 89 and said, yeah, I'm a gambling degenerate, I'm sorry. And then, you know, he'd be enshrined in Cooperstown right now. But I guess that's a lesson for all of us. When you screw up, just own it and move on. Guys, love the show, man. Thanks so much for taking my call. Have a great day. See
Thank you, Joe. You too. Pete Rose on base percentage was, high threes, low fours, just depending on the year. He had and his batting average, obviously, he, as Joe said, man, the hits, right? 209, 205. Yeah,
he's got the hits. He, 210, well, he also played
218, 205, 230, 210. These are all in a season, man. Yeah, well, that was
so long. The longevity was so big.
Yeah. If he just could have admitted. Yeah, well, that's.
So Tony Gwynn's lifetime on base percentage was .388. Boggs .415. I don't know if you have Rose in front of you. I can look it up.
Rose's career Rose. On base was .375.
So a little lower, but
.375.
You know,
yeah.
All three got the job done.
What was Gwen .388? You said.
388.
Yeah. Those are some good hitters.
Boggs, 415 for his career.
It's insane. All right, we will come back. Hour number two on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No